It's really very interesting to note that sometimes it appears that as you look at Solomon's statements and observations of life on earth in the book of Ecclesiastes, that it makes you think as if he was looking at life today. He's commenting on the situation that you and I find yourselves in. Welcome to What's It All About? Thoughts on Ecclesiastes by Solomon. As we move on to chapter 8 in Ecclesiastes, Solomon gives us some instructions concerning civil government. We think about, and we often struggle with, many Christians find themselves very troubled by what is happening in the government in various levels around us today. It's interesting, you know, what Solomon says. Now, he does not give us any particular instructions about philosophical approaches to politics. He doesn't give us any sort of party affiliation type of stuff that we might have an interest in. But he simply says this. Now, keep in mind, Solomon in his day lived in the ancient world in which often civil government was looked upon quite a bit differently. But basically, he starts with the fact that you need to be aware of civil government. You need to be in obedience to it. Because civil government is real. It has real authority. And civil government will do what civil government does. And so he begins with that basic, simple principle of be obedient to the government that you find yourself under. Now, we do realize, of course, and keep in mind that in the Old Testament, the king, was essentially God ruling his people through the king. And so, obviously, you need to have been obedient to God as a child of God at that time. And you need to recognize that God's word is God's word, and he does what he pleases. There is blessing in following God's rule for one's life. Today, God primarily speaks to us and rules us in that Jesus is King in our hearts. He has given us his word, and we are to follow and be obedient to the word of God. But yet, in some sense, God still does speak his will to us through the government that we find ourselves under. Even if we are totally convinced that the government that we find ourselves is very much going against God's purposes and God's wisdom, at the end of the day, we need to realize that the government we find ourselves under is the one that God has put us under. And so God's will is still being done. We may struggle with that, but it's important to recognize that whoever has been placed in office, obviously we're used to here in the United States the idea of the election of a president, and you may have some thoughts about this recent election, but at the end of the day, whoever is the president or any other lower office than that is there because God has put them there. And so unless that government causes you directly to sin, you need to respect it. You need to be in obedience to it, because you need to understand that this is God's purpose and will for your life. Even though you may not like the direction of the civil authorities at many points in life, God is accomplishing his person, his purpose, through this civil authority. And so the extent that we are very clearly not particularly required to sin, we must be in obedience. Now, the thing to remember, rather than just simply saying, well, this is not my president, this is not the guy I voted for, his policies are very unbiblical, I don't need to follow him. Rather, we need to remember that this is God's plan. We don't know what God has in mind. Perhaps we deserve a government that is very unbiblical, so to speak, because God is accomplishing something through that to remind us about our faithfulness to Him. And finally, the important thing to remember, something that I find myself having to be reminding myself about all the time, and that is, yes, we have civil authorities, and we have government, we have a king, if you will, that we must be obedient to, but at the end of the day, Jesus is our king. He is on the throne, on the right hand of God. He is the one who guides and directs the affairs from the greatest to the least of everything that happens in our lives, in our nation, in the world in which we live. And God, as His Son on the throne at the right hand of God, brings about all that He plans for us, and we need to recognize that. So we praise God and we thank God for the rule that He has put over us, that He is carrying out His purpose. You know, we would like to think that when we see someone or know of someone who's involved, either whether it's a crime or just plain wicked things in life, we would like to think, in ordinary that is the case, that there are going to be appropriate consequences. Somebody does something wicked, and they will suffer the appropriate consequences to that. Welcome to What's It All About once again, as we continue to look at Solomon's observations of life here on earth, as we see those things in the book of Ecclesiastes. Today we are continuing to work on chapter 8 in Ecclesiastes. The reality is that though it is normal to think that appropriate consequences or even punishment for wicked actions ought to follow those actions, it just doesn't always work that way. Let me give you an example. There might, in fact, let's just say for an example, that someone who is driving on the highway in a very inebriated state, and we would normally think, well, the guy is going to hurt himself, hopefully not someone else with him. And yet, it may well be that he arrives home at his destination without any difficulties. It happens. Wickedness is not always immediately met with the appropriate consequences. That's what Solomon observed. And so as we note this, what is interesting is that with the wicked, they are still answerable to God. In other words, it's kind of interesting. We've said all along, as you've been following these comments, is that Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, is simply talking about his observance of life apart from God here on earth. And yet, he does insert here a comment about the reality of God, and that is to say that ultimately the wicked will need to be answerable to God, and they will be called to an account. And yet, as we get back again to discussion of life under the sun, he mentions again, and it states it this way, that there is a very specific vanity. And that vanity is that, in fact, not only is it the case that sometimes those people who are doing wicked things don't necessarily immediately have the consequences to those wicked things, but sometimes it seems like the opposite. Somebody who gets out on the road and drives a car, as I was to continue with the illustration of traveling on the highway, and he does everything exactly right, and something still goes wrong, and there are injuries that are occurred. This does not mean that it's okay to just be careless and that we can't avoid things and whatever happens, happens, and it doesn't really make any difference. Not at all. But we do need to remember that what does happen is in the plan of God. No matter how much we try to figure out, and it seems like common sense, like this individual is involved in this great wickedness, that surely God is going to punish them. Well, maybe, maybe not. God may have a different plan in mind for them. And so, in the ultimate sense, we can simply say life will be what life will be. It is according to the plan of God, and we simply need to understand that as we interact with these aspects of life. Thanks for listening. Now, the scripture teaches us, as we all know, that God is an absolutely sovereign God, and it is this sovereign God who is in covenant, or has brought us into covenant with Him. And so we do experience in this life His protection, His blessings, and yet there's not going to be in all of life an immediate distinction between God's people and those who are not, the good and the evil. I'll give you an illustration, for example. If you happen to eat, oh, let's say you eat some spoiled food and you get sick from it, it has nothing to do with whether you are a child of God or not. It happens the same way to people here on earth. If you skip church on Sunday and go fishing instead, it's not necessarily the case that there will be equal consequences. If you happen to have an accident and get hurt, we cannot just simply say, well, it's because you skipped church on Sunday that that happened. We might like to say that, but that really doesn't quite follow. You know, there's a natural inclination, Solomon observes, that in the heart of all people there is a desire to live. And as long as life continues, there is hope for life. But the dead really do not have any hope about life because they're dead. The dead are not able to deal with those things. And so Solomon suggests that we should live our life, live it to the fullest, eat, drink, and do the things of life, because that's where God has put us, and that's where our faithfulness to God exists in this relationship. Now, I do believe that while I should also say that at this same time, we recognize within that context, that relationship between people of God and our covenant God, that all things are fully determined beforehand by God. And I believe that when it comes to dealing with what we are all struggling with these days, is this pandemic of COVID-19, we do need to keep some things in mind in this regard. There is certainly an appropriate level of caution that we ought to take. We ought to be aware of the dangers that could be out there for us. And yet we ought not to end up allowing this pandemic or anything else like that control us. We don't need to be living with an irrational fear. We need to live. We need to enjoy life. Because in the end of the day, whoever will get sick or even die has already been determined by God. Now, we don't know what God has in mind for any of us. We know that we have been put here on this earth to live and to serve Him with our life here on earth. We are to live in and under His covenant blessings. God has enfolded us with His blessings and with His protection. And we are to live in that context. We are to live life to the fullest. And so in the final analysis, what God has determined will come about. And that should give us a certain level of confidence, a measure of comfort, that we can go forward with life as God has placed us here on this earth. Thanks again for listening.